Hunt, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Your show at the Miller Gallery is called The Exotic World of Hunt Slonim, for good reason. Your paintings could also be called exuberant, immensely colorful, full of life, and I feel as though the act of painting is a joyful one for you. Am I right?
It's a joyful ritual. It's almost a form of meditation and spiritual practice for me. I get up and go at it every morning that I'm in my studio.
And your paintings are inhabited by exotic birds and butterflies and sometimes monkeys. And you also paint portraits of people who are famous and some people who aren't famous. Your works are described as being patterned and vibrant, and critics tag them neo-expressionist or post-cubist abstraction or other art historical categories. How would you define your work?
I like the term exotica or non-category. I've always admired Howard Hodgkins for refusing to be pigeonholed. I like exotica because all of my work deals with nature and forms that were unknown to me earlier in my life. I've spent a lot of time in tropical locations, lived in Hawaii a bit as a child, was an exchange student in Nicaragua in high school, and I live with 60 rescued parrots in my loft. So my loft in New York, which is 30,000 square feet, looks like a Victorian jungle or something.
Well, I know that Andy Warhol was a friend as well as an influence for you, and that Francis Bacon is also mentioned as an influence. What other artists would you say have had a real effect on your work?
Well, as a child, I was greatly inspired by Picasso, who used to buy chateaus and fill them with art, turn the key and go buy another one. And I've sort of followed, not quite on that scale, but I own three, maybe soon to be four, very large-scale historic homes, which I've rescued and filled to the brim. So, and his work, I think, is among the most powerful of this. My life's consciousness. I love Gauguin. I love so many artists. It's hard to pigeonhole or name specific. You know, Matisse has always been a great favorite of mine. I just see so much. I collect 19th-century portrait painting, primarily Southern. I have Vodachamps, I have Sully's, I have Lebrun, I have all kinds of things in my plantation houses. So late 19th century Victorian, like luminous painting, is a big influence. One of my houses is on the Hudson River, not far from Thomas Cole's home, Olana, who painted Cotopaxi and all of these exotic foreign things. We had Cropsey and Bierstadt in the area, Thomas Cole, who did Voyage of Life. Home is the next town up from mine. So there was a great interest at the end and early part of the new centuries in foreign and tropical settings. He'd painted orchids and hummingbirds, which I've emulated. There's also a pop element to my work translated to nature. I mean, Warhol and all the pop people repeated the green stamps, the soup cans, and I repeat finches and butterflies. So there is a little bit of a crossover into that world as well.
One of the things that interested me in reading about you was to find that you use a base coat of orange-red for your paintings, just as the old masters did. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I paint about five layers under my surfaces. We start with many coats of gesso, and then on top of that goes an acrylic red. And then often there's white, titanium white on top of that into which I paint. You know, I use a lot of metallics as well. I'm starting to work with diamond dust also, which is a Warhol spinoff. But it's just nice to paint on red. I've always found white to be scary. I like color. I like painting things on color. I like hanging my paintings on color. David Hockney once said, when you hang a painting on a white wall, your eye goes to the edge of the painting. When you hang a painting on a colored wall, your eye goes to the center of the painting, and you can experiment. So red particularly is the focusing color and sort of the heartbeat of the spectrum. So I've chosen to use that or orange quite often as an underpaint.
Some famous people own your work, among them Yoko Ono and Whoopi Goldberg. But the thing that I've never seen before in an artist's resume is that your work has appeared in movies. What's it like to go to a movie and see one of your own paintings in it?
Thrilling. And often I don't even know they're in it. I was at Faded Gigolo recently, and I knew that they were going to be in it, but I forgot. And I looked up, and there was a scene shot in front of my large bird paintings. It's very exciting. I feel that it's the mark of entering another level of communication through painting, which is kind of from the age of dinosaurs at this point. So it makes me feel very validated. Broken City with Mark Wallenberg had several of my rabbit paintings very prominently in a few scenes. I've also had a lot of movies shot in my house. We just had Beautiful Creatures. My house was Jeremy Irons' house in the movie Lakeside Plantation. And we had Jude Law and Kate Winslet for several months when they were shooting All the King's Men at Albania Plantation. And then we had Tommy Lee Jones for Electric Mist. And Buddy Guy did a whole concert on my back porch as part of the Robichon party scene. Painting is such an isolating, solitary thing to do, so it's wonderful when it can take on another life when finished and turn, like I'm doing a line of fabrics with Lee Jaffa that's going to come out this fall, which I'm fabrics, wallpapers, and rugs, so it's another dimension of use of the creative process of what I've done already.
You have all these different habitations. You have one of the largest spaces in Manhattan that I think I've ever heard of, but you also have Louisiana houses and so forth. Do you just move around from one to another?
I feel like I live between New York and Louisiana. I've done large sculpture projects down there, and I've had a lot of museum shows there. I went to school in Louisiana at Tulane University and was love at first sight. I just adore the state for some reason. I guess it's the French heritage and the rich cultural history and the music and the food and the writing. Anyway, one of my houses was given by Thomas Jefferson to the Marquis de Lafayette, and it had dirt floors, and I bought it. So I've saved these damsels in distress. And I consider that part of my art. I recreate historic settings. Historic Louisiana Collection just brought 100 people through that house, which was a very validating experience. And I got an award for historic preservation a couple of years ago. So it's very fulfilling. It's a nice break from the breakneck pace of New York. I also have this house up on the Hudson called the Courts Mansion, which I always tell everybody McKinley had his last supper at before he was assassinated in Buffalo, and then Teddy Roosevelt became president. So they're all steeped in history. Miss Emily Sear, who owned Albania before me, lived to 96, and her father had been lieutenant governor under Huey Long in the early years. And then Isaac Delgado had owned it before her, and he paid for the New Orleans Museum of Art with the Albania sugarcane crop money and left the trust to the city of New Orleans, and it paid for Delgado University and many wonderful cultural activities.
Well, what an interesting life you lead. Thanks so much for coming in to talk with us about it, Hunt, and welcome to Cincinnati.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
We've been talking with Hunt Slonim, whose exhibition of paintings is on view at Miller Gallery in Hyde Park through June 21st. For more information, see wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jane Jurrell.